It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Many people this time of year are focused on love. Those that are married, quite often, they should focus on the love of their wife, their spouse. Those who aren't married are often looking for love. What many call love, though, is really, in many cases, lust. What we're going to be doing here, we're actually continuing a sermon series that we started last year. So we're going to review, because I know last year was a long time ago, and we, there's been we've had a lot that's gone into our mind since then. And one of the things that we do every time we start a sermon series is, first of all, we remind you of what we should base truth on. And this really is important for every topic, any topic. Really, our foundation, we need to find out what the truth is. And we need to realize and we need to ask ourselves what should be the source of truth. And with things that, you know, there are certain things that we should know. And we've heard before, but sometimes we need a reminder. So we're going to give you a reminder, really, of where we need to look for truth and what we need to base our belief system on. And again, this part of it can be applied to any topic. We really need to apply the same principles to every topic. Now, one of the things that, first of all, we're reminding you, we're giving you a reminder, Peter in 2 Peter said that this was necessary. In fact, he said that he would remind people of things that they already knew so that they could be established in the present truth. And he says, in fact, he says in verse 12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." So even though the people knew the truth, they were established in that truth, he still reminded them of the truth. And he said that it was right for him to do so, and he would do so and stir them up and remind them until he died. And that after he died, that he would actually have others that would come and remind them of the truth. And today we don't certainly have the luxury of having the Apostle Peter come into our midst and remind us of the truth, but we have the Word of God, and we can read the words of Peter, and we can read the words of Paul, and we can read the words of John, and we can read the words of Mark, we can read the words of Luke, we can read the various authors of the New Testament, and you should be doing that to remind yourself, and you should always be, you know, the Word of God is not a book that you read once, or read every now and then, or maybe only read on Sunday during the sermon as the pastor presents the sermon. You know, it's the Word of God is our spiritual food. And, you know, you could imagine if you tried to go all week long and only eat one time of the week, you would really wither away. Certainly you can fast for periods of time. You can fast for periods of time, but most of the time we need to be eating. We get our nourishment from our food. And the same thing is true with our spiritual life. We get our nourishment through reading the Word of God. So one of the things when we look at truth there's a question in the Bible. It's a question actually from the trial of Jesus, where Pilate actually asked sarcastically, "What is truth?" And you know, again, he was being sarcastic about this. He was not really truly seeking truth, but that is something that we need to actually ask ourselves about every single subject and every single topic. And where do we find truth? We actually find truth, first of all, in God's Word. We need to look at the Word of God. Jesus said in John 17, beginning of verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So Jesus is praying to God. This is the high priestly prayer where the high priest Jesus is praying to God on behalf of his disciples. And he prays that God would sanctify them by his truth. And he says that his word, your word, the Bible, is truth. By the way, the Bible that they had at that time was the Old Testament. The Old Testament, we need to be reading the Old Testament. We also need to be reading the New Testament. It's important that we do this, that we actually are studying to show ourselves approved, and that we're reading the Bible. So Jesus actually is saying that the Word of God is truth. And he actually says, and going on in verse 19, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." So the Word of God is truth, and that truth sanctifies us. It sets us free from our sins. Jesus said, "I don't pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word." So here's the thing. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have confessed your sins, if you have believed on the Lord, if you have repented of your sins and you're following God, you're one of those that Jesus was praying for in John 17. And he was praying that God would sanctify them, and he was saying that he would sanctify them by the truth, and that truth is found in the Word of God. So Psalm 119 also is a psalm that actually talks about the truth and the Word of God, how the Word of God actually trains us and teaches us and helps us to walk worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. We actually see many passages. How can a young man cleanse his way? This is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? So how does a young person, he was writing this really to his son, but how can a young man, if he was writing to a young woman, certainly young women need to cleanse their way as well. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word, by actually listening to the Word of God and obeying it. "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." We need to seek God with all of our heart, all of our being, everything that is within us, and we need to pray that God would not allow us to wander from his commandments. "Your word I have hidden in my heart." This is talking about the idea or the concept of actually memorizing scripture. And you may recall when Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He quoted scripture. He didn't have to go and look for a scroll. That was what was available at the time. He didn't have to, if he were in modern times, he wouldn't have had to pull out his iPhone and pull out his Bible app and do a search to find a certain scripture. He knew the scripture. He had it memorized in his head. So in addition to reading the Word of God, we need to actually meditate upon it. We need to memorize it and hide it in our hearts. So we see here that the word of God was hidden in the psalmist's heart that he might not sin against you, against God. So when we hide God's word in our heart, when we memorize scripture, that can help us to obey him and to keep his commandments. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. My lips shall with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I mean, can you imagine? People get excited about the idea of making money when people get a job or get a raise or get a better job. Or, you know, there are people that play the lottery, you know, hoping to get rich. People rejoice when they have some accomplishment monetarily. But the psalmist here is saying that he rejoices in the way of God's testimonies as much as in all riches, and that he will meditate on his precepts and contemplate his ways. So meditation literally means to mutter. It's repeating the word of God to yourself. It's memorizing it and then repeating it to yourself. You know, you're not really proclaiming it for someone else. You're proclaiming it for yourself. And I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Jesus actually came to some Jews who believed in him. And one of the things that really separates Jesus from a lot of ministers today, a lot of ministers today tell people what they want to hear and tell people words that will comfort them, words that will maybe encourage them. Certainly there's nothing wrong with wanting to comfort someone who needs comfort. There's nothing wrong with wanting to encourage someone who needs encouragement. But we also need to sometimes love people enough to tell people what they want to hear, even though what they want to hear may be unpleasant for them. And Jesus actually quite often would actually go to those who were believing in him and tell them something that they actually did not want to hear. And this is, but they really needed to hear. And so this was what happened in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So they were Jews that believed in Jesus. Jesus comes to them and he tells them this: if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he's saying some really important things here. And really, one of the things that I will say is that this passage is one of the most important. These two verses are two of the most important verses in the Bible. If you are maybe a new Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you really haven't been reading the Word of God, you haven't been studying the Word of God, you haven't been obeying it, you haven't been applying it to your life, maybe you're struggling with a lot of sin, and really we all struggle with sin. Every one of us is sinners, although we should be moving closer and closer to God's standard, which is perfection. One of the things that we really need to look at with this verse, I believe that these two verses are two of the most important verses in the Bible to share with someone who actually may want to get on the right path. When I have been in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children, you know, there were times where I actually had Bible studies in there. I actually formed a church in my dormitory. I appointed an elder and a deacon, and I didn't really even know what all the offices should really do. But you know, I had people that I was training in the Word of God and discipling them in the Word of God. And one of the things that I would do, sometimes I would actually meet someone. Maybe I would be going to court and they would be going to court. And really, we're in a different part of the jail. We might not see each other again. And so I would actually have maybe just a few moments with them. I would, if the person had accepted Christ as their Savior and really needed some direction, I would share with them these two verses. Because if you listen to these two verses, if you apply it to your life, if you do what it says, God will teach you every other thing that you need to do. Because what this is saying is, if you abide in my word, this is Jesus saying, if you abide in my word. So if you actually, what does it mean to abide in his word? It means to live in his word. So many of us live in a house or an apartment or somewhere. There was a period of time where I lived in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. That's where I lived. I was there 24 hours a day. Most people, maybe you're not in your house 24 hours a day. You certainly go out to work. You go out to other things. You might go out and walk. You might go out to dinner or something else. But really, you're going to be spending a lot of time in your house. And Jesus is saying that needs to be what we're doing with the Word of God. We need to be abiding in his Word. What does that mean? Well, it means that we need to read it. It means that we need to memorize it. It means that we need to meditate upon it, that we need to ponder it, that we need to think about it. As the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, talking about the Word of God, they actually wrote certain portions of the Word of God on their doorpost. They wrote them on their forehead. They actually were to talk about the Word of God with their children as they went out and as they came back in. They were to really develop a biblical worldview. They were to actually sit, and in fact, one time of year, they got together as a congregation. The entire nation of Israel was to get together and stand up and have the law of God actually read to them out loud. As a congregation, they were supposed to do this. So we should be reading God's word. We should be memorizing it. We should be meditating upon it. We should be pondering it. It should shape our view, our worldview. Our first and foremost, the most important aspect of what is true and how you're going to live your life should be based not on what you saw on television, not on what you see on a news program or a political commentary or a political leader, what they said, not what you learned about or saw from a movie, not what you see from or learn from a TV show or from reading a magazine or a book or a newspaper, or hearing music from a singer. Really, the most important thing you can actually learn about and the most important influence on your life and what is true should be God's word. So we should be abiding in his word. And if we do this, he says, you will be my disciple. God's, what's a disciple? It's a disciplined follower. So if we meditate on the word of God, if we abide in the word of God, if we read it, if we hear it, if it shapes our thoughts and we actually hide it in our hearts, like the psalmist talks about, helping us not to sin against God, we're going to be able to discipline ourselves to actually resist temptation. So we're going to be able to actually become discipline ourselves to follow God. And we see here, and you shall know the truth. How would we know the truth? Well, because we're abiding in truth. We're reading the Word of God. We're meditating upon the Word of God. We're memorizing it. We're We're thinking about it. We're pondering upon it. We're muttering it to ourselves. And we're abiding in His Word. His Word is truth. And so we would then know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Now, the Jews that believed in Jesus rejected this message because they said, you know, we've never been slaves. We're Abraham's children. Jesus reminds them and shows them that they actually are slaves of sin. The Bible talks about that, by the way, in Romans chapter 6, being slaves of sin. When we come to Christ, prior to coming to Christ, we're slaves of sin. And there's a process where we need to be set free from that bondage and actually become slaves of God. We need to be servants of God instead of servants of the devil. So we need to actually be set free from sin. That happens when we abide in the Word of God. If you abide in my Word, you will be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Jesus actually says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the only way. By the way, there are people that believe that, well, there's many ways to get to heaven. Well, that's not a biblical view. And you need to be reading the Bible. You need to be abiding in the Word of God so that you can have a biblical worldview, so that you can know what God says about it. And what God says about it is that Jesus is the only way. You can't be good enough. You can't earn your way. You can't follow Muhammad. You can't follow Hare Krishna. You can't follow try to earn your way to heaven. You can't follow another leader. The only way that you can get to heaven is by repenting of your sins, by believing in God, by believing in Jesus, believing that He is the Lord, that God has raised Him from the dead, and confessing Him as your Savior, repenting of your sins. That's the only way you can actually get to heaven. And so Jesus says this, but He also is the truth. The Bible also says that Jesus in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Himself was the Word of God. He was the Word of God that was spoken by God when God created the heavens and the earth, and He also was the Word made flesh, the Word of God made flesh, and He is truth. We see also the importance of actually being open-minded, but in addition to being open-minded, actually searching Scripture to see whether what someone is telling us is true or not. You shouldn't listen to anyone and just accept what they say as truth. Even your minister, even your priest, whoever you listen to and seek spiritual counsel from, you shouldn't just accept what they say as true, but you should be open to what they're saying. And, you know, if what they're saying is different than what you've heard in the past, well, you need to study. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to examine that. Maybe even talk amongst yourselves about and study amongst yourselves to actually look and see what the Word of God is. So one of the things you see in the book of Acts is you see the gospel going out to various locations. And you see that various locations would receive it differently. In some locations, they would openly receive the Word of God. In other locations, they would actually reject the Word of God, and maybe the Jews would raise up the people and incite them because they were jealous, and the apostles were teaching about Jesus that they actually called to be crucified, and the religious leaders were jealous of Jesus. There were other places where There was idol worship, and the people that actually made the idols, they were concerned that their trade would go away, that no one would buy the idols anymore. And so this was something that was really, they were stoned sometimes. They were thrown into prison. They were beaten sometimes for preaching the gospel. But there was one city named Berea, and the people in Berea were different. They heard them. They said, well, this is different, but we need to hear them, and we need to actually search this out. So they were open to what they were saying, even though it was different from what they had heard in the past. But they went and they studied the scripture to see whether what they were saying was true or not. And when they found out that it was true, they actually believed, and they were open to that. One of the things that is important is that we need to realize that not everyone believes the truth. Some people actually suppress the truth. Some people exchange the truth of God for a lie. And there are people that actually are purposely suppressing the truth. Another thing to realize is that many Christians do not have a biblical worldview. And in fact, the vast majority of Christians, over 90% of Christians, don't have a biblical worldview, a worldview that is based on the Bible. So if that is you, if you're out there, you're listening, you've been a Christian most of your life, but you're more influenced by what you see on television, what you see in the movies, what you see, what you hear in a song. You're more influenced by what you read about in the newspaper or in a magazine, or what you see online, what you see on a YouTube video, than you are in the Word of God. Then what you need to do is you need to repent of your sins. You need to get into the Word of God, obey Jesus, abide in His Word, so that you might be His disciple indeed, so that you might know the truth, and that the truth might set you free from your sin. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. Son of God hanging on a hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify, could have come from these lips of mine. Dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then